Father, we just thank you as we come to your word. And Lord, will you bring us to a great understanding of what's actually happening here today. We thank you, Lord. You want to change us. And as has been said, we pray that you would change us in all that we're doing today. In Jesus' name, amen. So I just want to tell you, we're not going to be finished in an hour. I'm sorry. We wanted to do that, but it's not going to happen. God's just extended the time here. And I think we need to honor. We're going to be breaking bread after the message. And just hang around. And I believe God's got something for us here. So the title of my message is Setting the Captives Free. And God's just placed that on my heart. And it seems to be, as we've declared, a season of church on the go. And we are going. And part of that going is bringing freedom to the captives. Now, I've been reading, I got given a present many, many years ago about 100 great lives. And I've been reading that at night before I go to bed about some of these great lives. And the one I was reading that was about Eisenhower. I don't know if you know about Eisenhower, was the president of America for 2 terms. But also he was the general of the armies, the Allied forces in the Second World War. And he was sent to England, and they started a liberation process to get back into Europe, to liberate Europe from the Nazis in 1944. And he was in charge of this operation called Operation Overlord, and it was a massive planning exercise. I think they put over 160,000 troops onto France on the beaches of Normandy, and then they did that in June 1944, and they had captured the northwest France by August 1944. In the spring of 1945, that advance that the Allied forces that had made had actually taken over. Hitler had committed suicide. By spring 1945, Europe had been liberated. And why I'm saying that is that Eisenhower was raised up by God. He was a believing man, and he was put in charge of armies to liberate people that were captive. And Europe was under an oppression of the Nazi regime, which was demonic behind it, and it had needed to be liberated. And I think it was the grace of God that Europe was liberated. And we wouldn't be here today if it wasn't liberated. I don't know if you know that. We might have been in a very different world that we'd be living in here today. But behind that, who is the chief of the armies of heaven? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, our Lord has got the same purpose. His task was to liberate, to bring freedom, and that task has not changed. And I go to our text today, and I read from Luke chapter 4, verse 14 to 21. If you want to just get your Bibles out, whether it's on your phone or your tablet or your physical Bible, Luke chapter 4, verse 14 to 21. And this is about the Lord Jesus. He had come to earth. He'd been water baptized, he'd been filled with the Spirit, he's gone through temptation, and here he gets to Luke chapter 4, and this is what he says. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, and on the Sabbath that day, he went into the synagogue, as was its custom, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and rolling it, and he found the place where it is written. So he went and he looked in the scriptures, he knew the scriptures, and he said this, and it's come from Isaiah 61, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor, and he has sent me to proclaim freedom for prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind and release of the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began saying to them, "Today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." And here the Lord came and he read the scripture that had been foreordained and predestined through scripture. What is his purpose? And I really believe as we are a church in the go, that purpose that's on our Lord is upon us. And I read Isaiah 61 verse 1 again. "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for prisoners." I want to say to you, church on the way, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon you, because the Lord has anointed you to preach good news to the poor. He has sent you to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for captives and to release from darkness for prisoners. That anointing is upon us because Christ is in us. That mandate that has been given through the Great Commission has not changed, and God has called us to do that, every single one of us. So I just want to expound upon this. What does it mean to setting the captives free? So I've got 4 points I'd like to go through. Firstly, man captive. Secondly, freedom for captives. Thirdly, release from darkness for prisoners. And fourthly, worship flows from what God has done. So firstly, man is captive. And I read from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25 to 26. Those who oppose him must gently instruct in the hope that God will grant them repentance through the leading to a knowledge of truth. And they will come to their senses and escape the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. And I want to just say to you, man is captive to Satan and kept in his prison. Now, all of us, our predestination comes through Adam, and because of the fall of man, sin came in, and a selfish nature of sin came in, and that brought the captivity of a sinful nature, and sin became our biggest problem. You know, the world says COVID is the biggest problem. It ain't. Sin is still the biggest problem that is facing the world today, and many people don't even remember that. You know, Quentin shared with us on prayer meeting a snippet from Lester Sumrall, and the Lord gave him a vision. He showed this road with many nations and many people walking in this direction, and they seem to be content and happy, and they're going in the right direction, and the road ended at a cliff edge, and people was being pushed over because the mass that was behind pushing them over, and they were falling into hell. And the Lord said to him, their blood's on your hands because you have a responsibility to preach good news to them and set them free. And I want to just say, there's no condemnation, but we have a responsibility, every single one of us, to get out there and to actually preach the good news and present Jesus to them and let the Lord work and set them free. You know, a lot of the times, what happens to the church? Become comfortable. I'm born again. My name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. God has provided for all my needs, and forgets about those that are captive. You know, our eyes need to change. You know, when we look around, and we even look at those in the church, and we look at the people, we look with the wrong eyes. Jesus looks to set people free. And we've got to be looking at our family members. We've got to be looking at our colleagues. We've got to be seeing if they do not serve Jesus. Hear me, they do not follow Jesus. They're probably going to hell. And I don't know if you've ever contemplated that, because I've contemplated about myself. Never mind our family members or our colleagues in that. If they don't come to know, they're going to spend eternity in hell. Now, a lot of people say, well, there isn't a hell. Well, my Bible preaches about it, and Jesus spent much time talking about the gnashing of teeth and the people that are going to hell. You know, God has given us this incredible responsibility and this mandate upon us to go and tell people and to set them free. And here we see men are captive to the predicament of this darkness. They need, as Scripture says here, they need to be sobered up. They've been duped. In a sense, the Bible says, yeah, they're doped and intoxicated with error to the gospel. They don't want to hear. How many times do you find when you want to present the gospel, people say, no, don't give me that rush. Don't give me that religious garb. And don't talk to me about those things. They're like blinded to those things. And I'm telling you, the God of this world, and I want to tell you, there is a God of this world who is in charge of those who do not know Christ. The Bible tells us that his name is Satan. He is keeping them blinded and veiled to the truth. And then there's a war that's taking place. And we must realize we are there to set these people free. Yes, we love them. We care for them. But we've got to present Jesus to them. Because when we present Jesus to them, Jesus is the one that's going to liberate them. Who liberated you? Jesus. Who changed your heart? Jesus. And he's the only one that can change them as we preach this good news. So God's power needs to be released, and these people need to be set free from the trap of the devil. You know, Jesus looked over Jerusalem, and he wept with compassion when he saw the folly of their ways. And you know, today, I think we've lost a bit of that compassion. If I'm okay, and my circumstances, and God's provided for me, that's number one. But we don't look on the lost, and we don't look at the people around us. We don't cry out to God for their salvation, and we don't cry out to actually work to bring them to salvation. Yes, there are many things why they don't come to know the Lord. That is another issue. But a lot of our hearts, Jesus had compassion for the lost. That's a real thing because he knew their destiny. Now, some of us must have got family members that we love dearly that have rejected this gospel. But it's not over till it's over. We've got to continue to preach this good news, and we've got to bring them to a place of captivity, our captivity. And how do we do that, number one? We can do that by preaching the gospel. And I tell you, we cannot keep quiet about this thing. We've got to present the gospel. We've got to preach Jesus. Don't preach religion. Don't preach coming to church. Preach Jesus, because he's the only one. The scripture says in Romans chapter 1, verse 16 to 17, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes." There's no other way to be liberated. When we preach, God has entrusted to us this ability to preach Jesus. Now, I don't know, I remember many years ago, we were at this and I was studying for accountancy there. And I was part of a group called Wits Christian Fellowship. And we asked the Lord, I knew nothing about being God's people at that time, but we wanted to advertise this meeting that we had. And we were sitting down, and we were praying, and we asked the Holy Spirit, what do we do? And then the Lord just put on us, put the name of Jesus. And we put these big posters, and we painted them on, and we put them all around on campus. Just the name of Jesus. And I'm telling you, that was so powerful. God opened up our eyes in the Spirit. Just Jesus and who he is he is the liberator. Not only the redeemer, but the liberator that wants to bring and wants to set people free. But people don't see, they're blinded, and we've got to set them free. So there's an aspect, as we preach the gospel, God's got to set them free in this. And you know, this is the compassion that the Lord actually has. He wants to set people free. And I read a portion of scripture, Jesus, our example, from Luke chapter 13, verses 10 to 13. On the Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years, a demon spirit, crippled. So there is demonic authority behind sickness and disease. Jesus even said here, she had bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. This is the Lord who loves you and serves you. He wants to set people free. He saw her in the crowd and wanted to set her free. The same Jesus lives inside of you, and there are people inside in your family, in your environment, that wants God wants you to set them free. That's going to take a boldness to set them free. But you have the authority. The scripture says you've been given authority and power to cast out demons and to heal the sick. Do you know that? Every one of you. It's not just the pastor or those that are so-called have some authority in the life of the church. Every single one of us, Jesus has given that. So as we apply that, God wants to use us. Christ lives in us, and he wants to release it through us. So yeah, God wants to set the captives free. So this scripture, it says in the next point, freedom for captives, from Isaiah 61, verse 1, "He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim freedom for the captives, release from darkness for the prisoners." In John chapter 8, verse 36, "Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you are free indeed." I read that again. "Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." It's only Jesus that can set you free. Now, even you, some of you here today, might be captive to some aspects in your life. Can I just tell you, God sets us free from our sin. In Romans 6, verse 22, "Now that being set free from sin, you have become slaves of God, but you have become to your fruit, to holiness, and to that end, everlasting life." This freedom from sin, I just tell you now, your conscience needs to be cleared from the guilt and the shame and the blame and everything the devil can throw you of your sin. Now, that is an initial thing. When we ask God to forgive us, he cleanses that. The residue that is sometimes working in our minds and our lives and the accusation of the devil, we need to be continued to be set free. John 1:9, it says, "When you confess your sin, God is faithful and true to forgive you your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness." This is a fight that we all have. But God doesn't only want that for you, He wants that for other people. And I'm telling you now, God will open our eyes, and when we can actually minister the gospel of Jesus Christ and we can pray for people for forgiveness and God can cleanse them, it is a miracle. We want miracles. You agree with me? We want miracles and we want healings to see. But one of the greatest miracles to take place is that aspect of forgiveness of sin and cleansing from all unrighteousness. Do you know that even us as Christians, as we serve the Lord, we still have the propensity to sin? And when we do sin, we can come to our Father and we can ask Him to forgive us. And He uses the power and the authority of the blood of Jesus to cleanse us. And when that takes place, that's when you become whole and you can minister the grace. One of the biggest problems is in the earth today is the issue of sin. And I say it again, and the issue of unforgiveness. You know, when we look out at the world, I just see the way the world works and the way they speak and they slander and the bitterness and the ugliness that actually comes out of their mouths and how they just destroy people. And then they've refused to mend relationships, and there's this whole relational issue, and the root of that is unforgiveness. Now, we need to be sure that's setting people free. And many times when people have come into my office and we go to a counseling session, the first thing we talk about is sin. And people don't disregard sin as an issue today. It's a massive, massive, massive thing. It's the key thing why Jesus died on the cross. And that you can bring people to that place and bring them in to bow their knee and ask God forgiveness. You will set them free. You know, we want people, and hear what I'm saying here today. We want Jesus to be confessed as His Lord and Savior. But if you can bring people to a place of forgiveness and understanding in their sin, and that they receive the forgiveness of God and be cleansed from the right, you are setting them free. You are setting them free. And how many people, the psychologists and broken marriages and that, it's all because of this issue. And one of the roots of that, we understand, is selfishness. So Jesus comes to set us free. And I believe He wants to continue to set us free. Another one, it says, release from darkness for the prisoners. And that's also from Isaiah 61. What is that darkness? We know it's the veil of what evil one brings. He's the author of darkness. God is the author of light. And when light comes, it dispels the darkness. Now, we've just gone through lockdown, and what are some of the biggest problems through lockdown? Mental illness. I'd say it another word, depression. And that thing is a reality today. People need to be set free from that thing. And they want a magic wand, and just tell me it's okay, and put it in my bank, and I'll be fine. No, it's a spiritual condition. It's a spiritual condition. And the only way that thing can be dispelled and taken out of people's lives is to bring light. Is to bring light. And Jesus is the light of the world. It's only Him that can actually bring that light and set them free. So I want to just really encourage you is that we have a role ahead of us as church on the go to set the captives free. And then also we're going to be praying now. What's going to go to break? Are you free? And we prayed in the prayer team, and God revealed there were some things, and Ivan will carry us through that. We've got to ensure that we are free. And you know, we've all come out of a world, and there are things there. And Ricky was doing a course at the moment. One of the biggest things that the world is facing today is when God is not God in our lives, is it of idolatry. We eat idols in our lives, and the idols aren't wooden craven images anymore in our lives. What are they? It's the sport we're doing. It's the work we're doing. It's the food we eat. You know, anything that takes away from exalting Jesus in our lives. Yes, we need those things in our lives, but when they become preeminent and first in our lives, can I say one of the biggest one too is selfishness. The idol of selfishness. Me, myself. And that thing is, people are going to be set free from those things. You know, we don't talk much about the setting free. It's actually deliverance. And deliverance is part of salvation, and God sets us free. And you know, if you look at, if you're honest and say, I have a Christian walk with the Lord, there are periods in your life that God had to set you free. Yes, it's not immediately at being born again, but there's a continual process. If you're growing into the maturity of Christ, there's freedom that's got to come continually in your life, because God doesn't unpack the whole package immediately. There's an outworking of that. So if you think you've got nothing, I'm telling you there's something. And God, the Holy Spirit, has got to reveal that to you. And when you got freedom, and this came through The fourth point is, Ivan brought it out, worship flows from what God has done for us. In Isaiah 61, verse 3, and it gives us garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair or the spirit of heaviness. And that aspect of praise, when you receive this artwork and be set free, there's an aspect that we need to be praising God. You know, the 10 lepers that were healed, only one came back to give thanks. That aspect, when you are set free, we need to give praise and we need to give thanks to God. And even if you wanting to be set free, put on this garment of praise and give praise to God. It's part of the liberating power of God. You know, why do we worship on a Sunday? Why do we get together to do that? Yes, God's be honored and God needs to be worshipped because he's God. And that's part of our rightful duty as the priesthood of God to actually worship him in spirit and truth. But it's also good for you because it sets you free from where you are. How many come in here and you are broken from the week and you've got so many things on your plate and you say, well, there's a war going on before you actually get here? How many people have made a decision before they get here? No, I'm not coming this Sunday. Because there's a war that's taking place out there. And how many people that the devil is influencing to not come? Because this is a place where you come and you get set free and you get renewed. And I'll tell you, that's why it's so important when the worship team get there and they sing songs. But you've got to enter in and you've got to worship God and you've got to lift up your voice and you've got to honor him because it sets you free as you praise him. And I want to say, it's not just a Sunday morning, it's through your daily walk with God. Praise him. Give him thanks because that brings your deliverance. Now, there are issues every one of you are facing even now, and you're not free of those things. I want to tell you, give praise in those circumstances and for those circumstances, because when you put on the garment of praise, that heaviness is going to drop off you. Now, my understanding for heaviness is a demonic authority. And when you get oppressed, and I'm telling you now, the evil one's against you, aspects of that actually happens. So yes, we can resist the devil, but one of the greatest weapons is to praise God. And heaviness will lift off you, and you'll find freedom for yourself. Now, freedom is a very important thing, because not everyone in the church is free. They've been set into the place of their names written in the Lamb's book, but they're not free. And maybe you even here today, and you're not free. And I want to just say, we're going to be going over to break, and we're going to hand over to Ivan now. But we're going to do business with God. We're going to remember him for who he is. And the Bible's very clear that we need to examine our hearts before we come to the Lord's table. Do you think? And then we're going to trust God to minister here and bring freedom to us here today. If you are captive here today, Ivan will bring some of those things out now. But we want to see you set free. And why I want you free, that you can go and set others free. And as we honor the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, all authority, all things need to bow. It tells us that in Philippians, you have that authority to do that. And I would love to hear test me as God uses you to set other people free. And that's an incredible, incredible privilege that God has given us to do that. So God wants to use us to set the captive free. So Ivan, I hand it over to you, and then we're going to break bread together, and then we'll share some things too. Thank you.
Amen. Thanks, Mark. I'm going to ask us, I've got scripture that I'm going to read. But I want to ask us if we can come up as a family and we can take the juice and the bread back to where you are seated. And then we'll read the scripture and we'll go on from there. Is that okay? So I've got a table to the right and to the left. And yeah, those that are on this side, if you could make your way there. And from a little this side, if you could make your way to that side. Amen. For those that have joined through YouTube and you'd like to join us, that you'd like to partake with communion, now's the time maybe to go into the kitchen and grab some bread and some juice. And it would be awesome if you could participate with us in this. Amen. The scripture that I'm going to read for us this morning, it's in 1 Corinthians 11. I'm going to read from verse 23. I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat and drink this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner or guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord, let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup." I'm going to give minutes as you come before Jesus Christ. And if you have issues in your heart, you know there are things that aren't right. If you could make right with him before we partake. Thank you. Amen. Family, let's eat the bread together. His body was broken for us. Let's drink the juice together. His blood was shed for us, for everyone that's here this morning. So partaking of communion not only remind us of his suffering, but it also shows us the amount of love that Jesus has for us here this morning. I believe that it's also a declaration that Jesus is alive in you, that Jesus is alive in me. And he laid his life down to set us free. He came to set us free. I believe that for many of us sitting here today, there have been things spoken over us, and we've held to those things. Satan's come and he's whispered but lies in your ears, and you've taken hold of that, and you've walked with those things for so many years, and it's held you back and it's pulled you down, and maybe it's even brought sickness in your life. But Jesus laid his life down to set you free this morning. I want to ask you, and Mark mentioned it earlier on in the message, is Jesus first in your life? Is God God in your life? there are many of us here this morning battling with sickness, back, depression, heaviness. Can I ask you all to stand? Do you believe that Jesus can set you free? Amen. Yes, I do. I do. Be it lack, be it sickness, be it depression. Maybe something that your folks told you when you were a little tot. And you've held on to that, and you've walked with those things all these years. But know today that Jesus is going to wash you clean of all those things, and he's going to set you free. And Mark mentioned it, and we've read it, that Jesus laid his life down on the cross. He came to set us free. And I'm holding on to this. Amen. I'd like to pray for us. Father, the demonstration of your love for us. What an awesome and a great thing. And Father, we cannot function without you. But today, we choose and we come and we lay all our lives before you afresh. Father, the lies that we've held on to, that the things that we've believed that we knew were not right, we take things today and we lay it at your feet. Father, the sickness that I've carried all these years, I lay it at your feet today. And I know that as I stand before you, that you have come to set me free today. So, Father, I thank you. Only you can do that, Lord. Wash over us, cleanse us by your Spirit. And, Father, even if the old leaves and the old flowers have fallen on the floor outside from rain, and in that, Lord, new life comes. That today, I see that same thing. That all those things are falling today. And Father, in that new life comes. Come, Holy Spirit, wash over us afresh. Come, Holy Spirit, lead us and guide us. Come, Holy Spirit, saturate us and fill us with all that is of you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Just while we're in the prayer meeting this morning, we really just sense that the aspect of generational curses, where things are perpetuated in your life, whether it's divorce, teenage pregnancy, alcoholism, different sicknesses, poverty, these things, I don't know what they are. The Holy Spirit needs to reveal those to you. But it seems to perpetuate from one generation to the next. They call it hereditary. The Bible says we are set free from them. Jesus became the curse for us, that might receive his blessing. And I just want to pray for every one of us and everyone else on YouTube. And I want to break wherever generational curses have been placed upon you and have been spoken over you through whatever means. I want to just break it over you now in the authority of the name of Jesus. And Father, we just thank you for that authority that we have in the name of Jesus. And everyone gathered here and everyone out there on YouTube. And Lord, as we look to heaven now, we thank you. As we speak your life, we break the authority of every generational curse. And whatever its manifestation and whatever its working is, we cut its roots, we curse its root, that it will not flourish and it will not grow and it will wither up and it will die. We break it like the fig tree you cursed, Lord. We curse the generational curse now in Jesus' name. And we declare everyone here free, even on YouTube out there that are watching today, watch again. We set you free in Jesus' name. And Lord, in that too, we ask that you would pour out your blessing upon every family here, every person and every individual, that the blessing of God, according to Deuteronomy 28, will rest upon your people, Lord, and they would see the outworking of that, that they would flourish, that they would prosper, they would be successful in all they put their hand to. We declare over your people now, in Jesus' name, amen. Lord gave me a word this morning, and I just submitted to you. I was sitting in my office, and I just saw my pencil box full of different pens and pencils with different colors and different types. And I sent a scripture, Hebrews 8, verses 10 to 13. But this is the new covenant we'll make with the people of Israel on that day, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds, and I'll write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. And will not need to teach their neighbors, nor they will need to teach their relatives. You should know the Lord, for everyone from the least to the greatest will know me already. And then just sense the prophetic word. It is, I, the Lord, am the author of life, and through the new covenant I've given and written my DNA into your lives. That DNA is the divine nature of God, is Christ in you. Rejoice and be blessed. Ponder on this and allow me to continue to impart my images and impressions on your minds and write my word in your heart. I'm still writing in the fullness of Christ in you. So Father, as we go our separate ways, we ask, Lord, will you give us opportunities? Will you bring the captives to us? Will you bring the sick to us? Lord, that we can set them free in your name. So I pray for everyone as we walk into this week and where we find family members. I pray for boldness upon us, Lord, that we would bring this liberty and this freedom that's found through your name and through your blood now. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us with your presence. We go in your peace, we go in your grace, we go in your love. Thank you for your goodness towards us now, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. Go and have a great day. Jesus is Lord. Amen.